Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And there are many, many toxic chemicals out there in various consumer products, in the air we breathe, the food we drink, in our workplaces, in children's toys, in just every place. But that doesn't mean that we have to be exposed to them, because there are many, many products that do not contain them. There are many things that we can do to remove those toxic chemicals from our bodies. And these are the things that we talk about on this show. Today is Thursday, January 16th, 2014, and today we're going to be talking about paint, safe paint. And this is zero VOC paint. This is a paint that's been around for a long time. My guest today is Julian Crawford. He's the CEO of Imperial Paints, which is the U.S. distributor of Ecos Paints, the world's number one selling organic paint and varnish. And this was established in the United Kingdom. It's been used at the Louvre. They used it to paint the Googleplex and Westminster Abbey. Thank you for being with me today, Julian.
Thank you for having me, Deborah.
Good. So first, tell me a little history about Ecos Paints, and then what interested you in coming to work for this paint company?
Yeah, certainly. I guess the start of Ecos Paint really begins when the paint was formulated, and that was in around 1982. A UK paint chemist, Ian West, he suffered from chemical sensitivities himself and had always had issues being around chemicals and paint in particular, getting headaches and such like, and he decided to formulate a different type of paint chemistry. And he basically started with a clean sheet and added components that didn't cause problems or were non-toxic, all of which were non-toxic, until he'd made a formulation that worked to the paint. I think he spent maybe 6 years for that process, which obviously ended up with Ecos Paint being available, I think, from about 1988. And they've been selling Ecos Paint in the UK ever since. They've added various other types of products, coatings and varnish in the interim period. But that's really where it started. In the United States...
Julian, I need to interrupt you for a minute. My producer is asking me to ask you to speak into the phone so that we have better audio from you.
Okay, is that better?
A little bit. A little louder and a little closer to the phone.
Okay, is that better?
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Good. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
I apologize. I've been accused of being a mumbler by my mother for most of my life, so maybe it's been proven out here. Would you like me to restate what I said, or is that good?
Why don't you restate what you said, because it wasn't very clear. I was sitting here, like, listening very, very carefully, so let's just start over.
Okay. I apologize.
It's totally fine.
The product itself, Ecos Paint, was developed in 1982, or started around 1982, in the UK by a paint chemist, Ian West, who had chemical sensitivities himself. And he set about devising a paint formulation that didn't include any of the harmful ingredients that you typically found in a paint. So he started a formulation where, you know, with a blank sheet of paper and simply added products in that were non-toxic, till he'd made a formulation that both served its purpose as being non-toxic and also worked very well functionally as a paint. And that process took about 6 years, resulting in Ecos Paints being available from about, I think, 1988. And then, obviously, they've been sold in the interim period in the UK and actually around the world since then. They came to the United States in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
They've been selling products over here a little bit, but obviously, clearly, it's not a simple exercise selling paint across the ocean here. So they'd had sufficient inquiries and interest. They decided to set up a small factory here in Spartanburg in South Carolina. And they began that in 2009, and we've been producing and selling paint here ever since.
So it was used to paint Westminster Abbey and the Louvre, and so Tell us
not
more about...
Not the entire place for those. This is, these are places where it has been used and specified, and typically it's used and specified in places where there's a particular interest. So the Louvre, for example, they did some testing. They were particularly focused on preservation of artifacts. Clearly, there was a whole number of very expensive and unique artifacts. And they did their own proprietary test, we believe, on our product and a number of others. And they were looking for not only the off-gassing of the paint, but also the paint's ability to inhibit off-gassing from other types of materials, so particularly types of, like, say, wood, where wood will actually give off a certain type of acidic chemistry. So they used a passivating product of ours, which actually not only doesn't introduce VOCs and contaminants in the air, but it actually reduces those that are being generated by other substances.
Interesting. Okay, so then what about you? How did you get interested in things non-toxic?
Well, my interest with ECOS paint and then subsequently obviously Imperial paint started when they set up their factory here in 2009. Clearly, the upstate of South Carolina doesn't have too many English people in it. And when they located a factory here, it wasn't difficult for us to actually catch up. I mean, people said, oh, there's a new English group here in Spartanburg. You should get to meet them. And that's when I met the original UK contingent that came over here to set up the company.
Mm-hmm.
I helped introduce them to, you know, local vendors and contacts they might need. I'd been here for about 10 years by that stage. And then really for the next couple of years, we probably didn't touch base at all. And then I don't know exactly what the reason was, but we got back in contact and I learned a little bit more about what they were doing and how it was working. And then did some diligence on the product and fairly quickly established that their product was, or our product now, is technically superior to, we think, any other product on the market. It performs better as a paint. It doesn't have the typical issues you have with environmentally friendly products in terms of you often sacrifice some type of performance for that. And it had a clear history of 25 years of very successful use. What I felt that they were lacking was an ability to connect to a market. This was a great, well-kept secret, and I think to a certain extent we still are.
Well, I think you are too, because I've been in this field for more than 30 years, and I only just heard about you this year. And I'm constantly looking for the best toxic-free products that there are, both in terms of toxicity, but also in terms of quality of performance. And I agree with you about your paint, and it's just not known. People just don't know that it exists. And I think that that's true for a lot of non-toxic products, because if people knew that they were there, they would use them.
Right. And that's invariably a conversation we have with new customers or people who are, you know, they read an article in a newspaper. We find it relatively easy to get press for things when people notice it. They go, oh, look, we should really say something about that. And there's invariably a surprise element from the consumer. Oh, gosh, if only I'd known. So what we spent the last couple of years doing is really trying to address that and make sure that our product articulates what it is we're trying to do, what the value is, what the benefits are, and then make sure that they're focused on an audience that's targeted or interested in that type of product, like our Lullaby Paint product.
We need to go to break, and so we'll talk more after the break. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today my guest is Julian Crawford. He's the CEO of Imperial Paints, U.S. distributor of ECOS Paints, the world's number one selling organic paint and varnish. When we come back, we'll talk more about paints. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Julian Crawford, CEO of Imperial Paints, the U.S. distributor of ECOS Paints. And we've been talking about how they've been used to paint Westminster Abbey and the Louvre, and we're going to be talking more about why they're uniquely special. But first, Julian, let's talk about why somebody would want to seek out a paint like yours. What is toxic about regular paint?
I mean, regular paint contains a catalog of harmful chemicals, all of which are there for a purpose. They either keep the paint from drying too quickly, or they enhance the color, or they help the spread rate. So, I mean, they're not there without purpose. But they're, particularly in traditional paint, they include things like formaldehyde, toluene, other types of solvents, all of which have got either carcinogenic or issues with brain function or liver function, these kind of health issues. The technology of paint has not changed overly dramatically outside of the major substitution out of lead for the longest time. Environmentally friendly paints, which are traditional-based, typically just contain fewer of those. So it's normally done by an extraction process or a substitution process. So let's say you found a particular chemical was considered to be highly toxic. You might try and substitute that for a less toxic product, or you might limit the quantity of it, the consequence of which is typically that the performance of the product is less. So it doesn't hide so well, or it doesn't cover so well, or it takes forever to dry. If you read the reviews of most of the environmentally friendly, or the alleged environmentally friendly traditional paint, they typically have got a poor review in terms of application. Our product is completely different. We didn't start with a paint recipe and try and modify it. The original recipe was put together with products that didn't cause harm. And they're a blend of types of resins, and food-grade products, types of things that you wouldn't necessarily find in a paint. The result of which is actually an extremely good quality paint. I mean, it's one of the things that attracted me to this company. The performance of the product is actually superior to most traditional paints in terms of coverage and color and durability. Despite the fact that it's got a tremendous environmental problem.
Well, you sent me a can of it, and actually some tubes of various samples of the different kinds of products that you have, and I smelled all of them. I didn't have the opportunity to paint them all on something, but the quality of the paint in the cans and in the tubes is tremendous. I've done a lot of painting in my life, but it's very thick and stays on the brush kind of thing, and actually puts a good coating on. And so I do think that you have accomplished that balance of making a toxic-free product that also is just beautiful to use and gives a good result.
Yeah, I
would vouch for that.
Okay, and to be perfectly honest, we get as many people buying our product because of that quality as the environmental problem. So, for example, in the UK, a customer of ours is British Rail. They own all the rail infrastructure in the country, and they use the yellow paint to paint the markings on the railway platforms because they found it's the most durable paint they can find. We have people who paint car park decks, the white lines on car park decks. And they're not really focused on the environmental advantage of the product. They're just purely looking for a performance.
Right.
So, yeah, we definitely do get that kind of reaction. And the other thing with our paint is it typically covers more. So an eggshell paint that we have done in wall paint will cover around 560 square feet a gallon, while a traditional paint is maybe 350, maybe 400. So
wow.
You get a much better coverage. So when people look at the cost or the price of the product, if you look at it instead of a gallon-for-gallon comparison, that we price our product about the same as a high-quality premium paint, you actually get a better coverage. So if you looked at the cost per square foot of the product, you would get a more advantageous price.
So it also would, in just typical household use, it would, if they're using it to paint the yellow lines in the railway station, it would probably last longer on your walls and cabinets than normal, and you wouldn't have to repaint so much.
We would think that. I mean, we do tests with scrubability of products. We have people who paint just what we call problematic substrates. So they might be painting onto a plastic or a glass or something, and those are where you get to really see the adhesion of a product. And very often we'll come and do a test, and they will use our product, paint it, let it dry, and then try and scratch it off. And the scratch resistance in comparison with a traditional paint is far superior.
That's excellent. I always love it when it's like a better choice. Many years ago, I was working with a company where we were developing green products, and what we found was that not only did it have to have the environmental attributes, but that if it didn't work as well as the one that was toxic or environmentally harmful, people wouldn't buy it. It had to have that performance. And so I'm always happy to see when you can actually get better performance by making the toxic-free choice. Some chemicals that are typically found in paint are things like solvents, which are very toxic, animal products, heavy metals like lead, cadmium, and mercury, formaldehyde, vinyl chloride, which is carcinogenic, phthalates, which you may have heard about. And what happens with paint, when it's the way a paint is put together, is that it has the paint part, the solids, and then it has all these toxic things to keep it liquid. And that's what you're breathing, is all the toxic solvents and things as the paint is drying. We're going to take another break, and then we're going to hear about all the details about Ecos paints and what the paints, different types of paints they have, and why they're so good. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest is Julian Crawford, CEO of Imperial Paints, the U.S. distributor of Ecos Paints, the world's number one selling organic paint and varnish. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Julian Crawford, CEO of Imperial Paints, the U.S. distributor for Ecos Paints, the world's number one selling organic paint and varnish. So let's talk about your paints. I'm looking at a page on your website that talks about your company, and one of the things, the first things it says is that it's 12,500 times purer than paints that are, it says, 5 grams per liter, 0.5% of VOCs. So that would be a low VOC paint, 12,500 times purer than low VOC paint.
Actually, the classification in the United States would be a zero VOC paint. In the United States, you can actually call your product, okay, we should say, first of all, the base paint, zero VOC, so long as it contains less than 50 grams per liter.
So zero VOC isn't zero VOC.
No. This is one of the issues in terms of the paint market here. If you buy a product that's zero VOC, it can actually contain up to 50 grams. And if you think about that, if you paint a room with, say, 5 gallons of paint, a couple of coats, whatever, that would be at 50 grams is about 2 pounds of VOCs that would come out. And that's in a product that's classified as zero. But clearly, you can have a low VOC or even a mid or high VOC, which would be multiples of that.
So people really need, if they're choosing a paint, they need to not look at the label and see whether it says low or no. They need to actually look at the amount of VOCs that are in the paint.
That's correct. I mean, the zero VOC or low VOC is certainly misleading. Most people would read zero and consider that that really meant none, and that's not the case. And then the other thing with VOCs is clearly there's a whole range of different products that can be VOCs, some of which are not really harmful and some of which are extremely harmful in small quantities. So, if you chew on a little bit of arsenic, I mean, it'll kill you if you chew on something that, whatever else, it's not going to harm you. So you have to really think about what those are as opposed to necessarily just their volume.
And the VOCs, VOCs stands for volatile organic chemicals. But there's, as you said, there's such a wide variety of them, and they don't necessarily have to tell you exactly what they are, right?
Absolutely. And most companies, you know, they'll consider some of these products to be proprietary, and therefore don't have to mention them. If they're in certain small volumes, then you don't have to mention those either. Oftentimes you'll see a general statement which says, this paint contains known carcinogens and products that are shown to cause birth defects in animals. That's a fairly standard kind of description that goes on a lot of traditional paint.
Okay, so you have no VOCs. You actually have no VOCs.
That's correct.
Yes, and no glycols. Glycol is another big ingredient that's used in toxic paints. No solvents. And it's odor-free. Now, I wouldn't say, I smelled all the paint samples you sent me. I think some of them have no odor at all. I mean, I'm sniffing, and smelling nothing. Some of them, I would say, have a little bit of an odor, but none of them particularly smelled like toxic chemicals that I'm familiar with. So that was really good for me to see. But I'm not sure I would call it odor-free because some of them had a little bit of odor. But not toxic. And another thing that your company does is that you declare all the ingredients.
Yes, and actually we're going through a process at the moment. There's a new certification process for LEED where you self-declare all the different products. And we're just going through a process now of identifying CAS numbers and whatever, so you can put those on. And those will be specifically focused on sending to architects and people specifying so that they get some degree of comparability for different products.
Right. Okay. So, and also you say that they're safe for people with allergies, asthma, and chemical sensitivities. So tell us what is actually in your paint.
The types of things in the paint, it's water and there's some binders. We have resins. It's a resin-based product. We've got pigment. Clearly people buy products from us that are pigmented. That's one of the big things in terms of the product. We buy pigment and tints from Europe, a special variety that's contains no glycols. Glycols have been shown to cause asthma and allergies. There's a Harvard School of Public Health study that specifically links glycols, polyethylene glycols, ethylene glycols from paints and other kinds of household cleaners and the development of asthma and allergies in children. And glycols are used extensively in paints and also in tints because they help the product stay liquid. Particularly in tint, you don't want the pigment to dry when it's in a tinting machine. If it dries, then it clogs up nozzles and therefore you don't get the right dosage of that particular colorant. So we buy a variety of tint and pigment from Europe. It causes us more problems in terms of actually application. We spend more time on making sure that process works smoothly. We can do that because we tint our product only here in the factory. Other people are tinting in retail locations, and we're talking about hundreds or thousands of tinting machines you need to be attentive to. But our product, you know, it's a bit more tricky to deal with, but the benefit of it is that you just don't have these glycols. But the glycols are particularly problematic.
So let's talk about color for a minute. And one thing I want to mention is that I know that there are some paints where, as you mentioned before about the base paint, you very carefully said base paint has a certain amount of VOCs in it. But I also know that the tints themselves can have VOCs, and so people have been selling paints that might have less VOC in the paint, but they still have the standard tints with those glycols and VOCs in them. And so I'm looking at your Find Your Color page. I was about to ask you if you're tinting at the factory, then does that mean they can't go down to their local store and you know, bring a piece of fabric and have a color match? But you say here on your page that you at the factory, you can color match to almost any shade. Just send the sample in and they'll do it. So do you have a lot? I'm looking for, let's see, a page that has a bunch of colors on it. And I'm not seeing that, but you must have one somewhere, yes?
Yeah, there's a page. I don't have the screen in front of me. There's a page which says choose your color or something at the top, maybe.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Find your color. But I don't see any colors. But you know what? We need to go to break. So I will look for this over the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here with Julian Crawford, CEO of Imperial Paints. We're talking about Ecos Paints, the world's number one selling organic paint and varnish, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here with Julian Crawford, CEO of Imperial Paints, which is the U.S. distributor of Ecos Paints, the world's number one selling organic paint and varnish. And you can go to his website at ecopaints.net, not .com, .net, ecopaints.net. And he's also on my, I've got a link on my website at debraslist.com. You can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and type in Ecos Paints, and you'll get to my listing about them. You can go to the website from there, or ecopaints.net. So, Julian, I did find your colors. Now, you just go to shop, and when you click on shop in the main menu, it's got a big menu, and it says choose by color. And if you go to red or orange or yellow or green or blue, whichever one, you'll get to a whole page that has all different shades of that color. And then they have you buy a color card for 75 cents, and you get a real color, so that, because computer screens are often not accurate in terms of color. And so you can get the color card and make sure that that's the color that you want before you order. So I think that's a really good system. And so also, if you click on shop, over on the right-hand side under all, it tells all the different types of paints. And you have so many different types of paints. Tell us, like, what is your basic paint like? Because you have a lot of different ones.
Yes, yeah, so we have what you might consider a standard product range for people painting houses. So your normal wall paint, eggshell, matte finish, the traditional wall paint product, and then we have glass and semi-glass products for painting onto doors and trim and furniture. So that, and there's interior and exterior products. So basically the types of products that typical householders would be.
So basically used. Anything that you would find at a paint store, you have that type of paint.
Yes, definitely. And then we have some specialist paints, some floor paints, and some masonry paints. These kind of products that maybe nobody else really has as environmentally friendly product.
On your floor paints, what type of flooring can you paint that over? I mean, that, I would think that was especially heavy duty for walking on it.
Yes, I mean, you can paint it onto concrete, and you can paint it onto wood. Actually, we painted the floor in our factory here and run a forklift truck over it, and it stands up to that.
Wow.
Actually, so
you could paint it on your garage floor, for example.
Yes. We had a customer who bought floor paint, and when we talked to them a little bit more, it was a company that trained sniffer dogs. So these were dogs that were sniffing for drugs or whatever. And they wanted a paint for the floor that wouldn't be scratched up and marked so easily by all these dogs, and also didn't have any chemicals or chemistry that would be interfering with the process of identifying different types of smells. So one of the tests they did was to see how well this would wear when they got dogs running up and down.
Wow. Again, another use that is very specific where they're looking for performance, and you came through with that. So tell us about the Air Pure products, because I've never seen paints like these.
Right. So the Air Pure products, again, share the same initial characteristic. They are zero VOC, no toxic chemicals. But particularly the air purifying paint, it has a zeolite crystal in it, which has been specifically a ceramic crystal, and it has been specially or particularly sized or chosen for its size, and it traps VOCs that are bouncing around in the room. So it traps things like formaldehyde and acetone, and we have some test results from the efficiency. Sometimes it's up to about 98% of the VOCs that are bouncing around. So what happens as these VOCs bounce around the room, they eventually come into contact with the walls or the ceiling, where they get stuck, trapped by the ceramic itself. Things like carbon dioxide and water and whatever, the small particles may just bounce freely through or back out. So these actually remove VOCs from the air.
I think that's amazing. I've never heard of that. And so, let's see, you have the atmosphere purifying paint and then MDF passivating primer. So that absorbs the toxic things coming out of MDF and particle board. So if you wanted to use particle board, you could put this paint on it, and then it wouldn't be emitting formaldehyde.
That's correct. And actually, that's the product, or one of the products that the Louvre used. They were testing to see that they wanted to trap contaminants. So if you put artifacts, so you imagine you put an artifact in a glass case with a normally a wooden frame around the outside. If the wood itself is giving off chemicals, you'll find those are degrading the artifacts themselves. So that was one of the products that they specified for trapping those kind of chemicals.
And then you have a deodorizing white satin paint that says it removes odors and VOCs from painted surfaces. So like if somebody had painted, I get this question a lot. There's been people, different brands of paint here, where people have, they've been advertised to be not toxic, and then people paint with them and they can't go in those rooms, and it lasts for months and they have no way of remedying that. So if you were to paint this over that kind of situation, it would block those VOCs and odors?
Yeah, so typically this paint is used on door frames and doors where people maybe have used an oil-based finish, oil-based that's typically the strongest product in terms of odors and chemicals coming out. And normally you can't paint a water-based type of product directly over those, but the adhesion for the product is sufficient that it would actually cover those, so you would simply mask those with our paint.
This is incredible. So many uses for these things. Okay, then you have something called anti-formaldehyde radiator paint. So it says formaldehyde-absorbing finish for hot water radiators. How does a hot water radiator give off formaldehyde?
Actually, that's more a European type of thing, where they have hot water, and it's not really something it's a product that we have really from our range from there, but typically it's not a product that is sold in the United States.
Okay. I just never had heard of that. And then the last one in this series is the EMR shielding paint, so that shields radiation.
Yes, this is for people who maybe live next to a cell tower, or they live, or they're in an office environment, a doctor's environment, where you've got machines that are emitting these type of radiation. And this is a product that contains a nickel, an inert nickel chemistry, and that blocks that type of radiation. There's a specific range that it will block and a particular efficiency. And we have people who, you know, very often people use our product and then unsolicited they'll say, you know, they'll send something back saying this is wonderful. And we have people who maybe have been, you know, the cell tower.